Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, a very pleasant good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hurricane Hotline. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Trevor Harris, my right-hand man today. So we got a lot of Hurricane stuff to talk about. Tim Reynolds coming up on the show. We'll hear from the Hurricanes defensive coordinator, Lance Guidry. Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, joins us to talk about the ACC and the latest with Clemson. Weicho Hernandez, top of the hour at 7 o'clock, will be with me. We'll talk about Miami and Clemson coming up this weekend. Series starts tomorrow. And then Josh Darrow has his podcast, and University of Miami as a national champion in track and field. And so we'll talk about that in hour number two. But we start things off with the great Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, joins us each and every week on our pregame show. And always delighted to have Tim with us on the Hurricane Hotline. Tim, good evening to you.
Good evening, Joseph. And I'm listening to that lineup, and I'm like, what am I doing on?
Yeah, you're the
leadoff. Why are you
here
delaying the good stuff for the people?
You are the line drive leadoff hitter. You're getting us started.
Well, I always made good contact. Speed was a bit of an issue with me, but I was a contact guy. So, okay, that makes sense.
That's good. Contact is always good on this show. let's start with this. I did not see this coming. I thought perhaps if Katie Meyer ever left the University of Miami, maybe it would be to the WNBA, but no, she's going to transition out of coaching into another role, retiring from coaching after an incredible 19-year run. I don't know if people really understand how hard it was for her to get started, but let's begin with that on the show. Katie Meyer, last week retiring as the head women's basketball coach at the University of Miami.
I don't want to say stunned, because I wasn't stunned. There are some people you get to know over the years when you do what we do for a living. And you can just tell when people are real and when people aren't. When the light that's inside someone is a little bit brighter than the average bear. And that's Kate. I adore her. I just do. And I love the way she coaches. I love the way she thinks. And I'm going to miss watching her suffer for 5 months a year because, I mean, I've had the privilege of watching them practice a few times over the years. And, like, it's like they're down one with 3 seconds to go every practice. Like, and that does take a toll, I think, over time. Like, she puts all of her into every day. It's hard to do that for 19 minutes, forget 19 years. It's just, I'm thrilled that she's staying. I know people sometimes say, well, okay, she's going to move into an administrative role. Well, and that's usually college speak for, we're going to keep paying you for a while because we can't get rid of you. That is absolutely not what's happening here. She's going to have some meat on the plate. They gave us an explanation last week as like what her job's going to be. Her job's going to be whatever she wants, basically, is going to be the job. And that's great for Miami. She gets to coach coaches now if she wants. And I hope that's what, I hope that's part of it. Just what she's done, 100% graduation rate for those who stayed 4 years. She made a joke about it. There should be a banner for that. I mean, she changed kids' lives, and that's what coaches are supposed to do. And that's what she did. And Joe, one more thing. When you really think about, when you think about her tenure, right? And in the moment, I never realized it. I probably should have, but I didn't. There was a time when Miami had some serious power hitters, to go back to your baseball analogy to start the show, leading women's sports here. You had Patty Rizzo in golf. You have Paige in women's tennis. You have Amy Deem, who is not the best women's track coach in college athletics. She's the best track coach in the world. Not women's. She's the best track coach in the world, period. You have Katie, who's the face of the operation. And, oh, by the way, there was Dr. Scalella as president for some of that. Mm-hmm. It's just Miami, by action, by having those five women, and there were other women, Connie Nichols, Jennifer Strawley, there's been a lot of women in key roles there. By actions, they empowered women. And they showed, the University of Miami showed that they believe in not just women's sports, they believe in women by having those forward-facing people running your program, and in Donna's case, running the university. I think it's just one of the things that makes Miami very special, very different. And it's going to be a huge void to not see Katie on the sideline, but to know that she's still going to be on the campus, that's still a great thing for Miami.
I've done radio and TV shows with her for 19 years, since the day she started. When she started, there was no Watsco Center. There was no practice facility. They were over in the night sports. They played in the night sports complex.
Yep.
And so there's no Watsco Center. Maybe there was, but I don't think so.
It was coming. Like, we knew it was coming, but it hadn't happened.
At any rate, I usually stay in my lane. I'm a broadcaster, not an athletic director. But if I was an athletic director, I would look at Katie Meyer's program. I would look at Katie Meyer, and I would say, there's a coach that knows how to build a program. I would look at the ingredients that she put into her program and say, if I'm hiring a coach, I want them to put those ingredients into a program, because she found a style of play. She stayed with it. She found a way to recruit. She stayed with it. She built a program that was best for Miami.
She wanted 12 Katie Meyers on the team. And I think that was part of the challenge to coach. There aren't 12 Katie Meyers in college basketball. There might not be two this year. She wanted smart, tough kids who eat, sleep, breathe, whatever, the game. And I don't know if those kids, not to indict this, absolutely not an indictment of the way that kids are here or anywhere else today, but she remembered what worked for her as a player, and that became her coaching style. I mean, yes, she changed things on an annual basis to suit personnel, but her integrity, her taproot, to use the word that Pat Riley uses all the time, it never changed. Her integrity is, and you know, to address the elephant, the three-game suspension at the start of last season, if you think that's a knock on Katie Meyer's integrity, please, then you don't understand what happened. You don't understand the story. Katie Meyer had a team. I mean, the specifics don't matter anymore, but, people who have been around the program a long time know that Katie Meyer had a team 10, 12 years ago that was good enough to win the national championship.
Yeah.
And something happened with one of her best players, and she told that player, you can't go play in the NCAA tournament. And they did not go to the Final Four. Like, a lot of people picked them to go to the Final Four that year, and they did not go to the Final Four because they weren't the same team. The easiest thing for her to do would have been, I'm going to play. I'm going to keep my team intact. I'm going to overlook things that have happened. And she didn't do that. And that's integrity. That's, she could have looked the other way, and she didn't. And that, to me, forever says what Katie, who she is and how she never changed. And that's what she demanded from her kids. And the, 200 kids, however many she had in 19 years. I'm sure 200, coaches and players argue all the time, of course. It's like a parental relationship. It's like a spouse. I mean, it's never perfect. But if you hook up all 200 of those kids to a, whatever they call those machines, lie detector machines, 200 of them will say that Katie Meyer made them better people, that she made them better basketball players, she made them better spouses, better friends, better partners, better moms, better aunts, better sisters. She just made them better. She made me better. She made me a better reporter. She made me understand basketball in ways I didn't understand it before. And I wasn't even really around. We never sat down for hours on end and talked strategy. You just absorb it around her. She's just very special. And yeah, it was a sad day. And I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Hunter, her wife. I'm happy for them that they get to go enjoy now, which is what we all aspire to do. They get to go
every day is Saturday. Well, she's made this every day. Every day for her will be Saturday, but she's made this.
She'll still be around. She's still going to be around. She's still going to be working. And also she's going to be bored with Saturdays. That's my prediction. She thinks she won't be. She's going to get bored with Saturdays. You watch.
She's made this an attractive job. So in the hiring process, I am sure this will, whether they stay within the program or go outside, she's made this a very attractive job.
I've heard a lot of names in the last, whatever it is, 96 hours, whatever it's been. Some of them are Canes and some of them aren't. But when you talk to other coaches, and I have talked to a lot of people in women's basketball the last few days, it's an intriguing job because I think there's a universal belief that people can take the program that Katie has built and know that the foundation is rock solid and now you can do something with it. Now you can do something more with it. And we all know what has to happen. It's everywhere right now. If you have NIL backing, you can do a lot of things. Everyone's still settling into this NIL space. It's new, but it's not new, but nobody really has it figured out yet. The schools that figure it out fully, rapidly, they will be the ones with the best chance to succeed. And Miami has an incredible opportunity in front of it. They can go contend. I mean, Katie said at her retirement press conference, and again, it was Katie Meyer doesn't say things to say things. She wants this program to win a national championship. She thinks it can win a national championship. And there's a lot of coaches in this country that believe it can be a national championship program because it's in Coral Gables, Florida. It's not a bad place for a kid to want to spend 4 years or 1 year or 5 years or whatever it is. But in this era, now you got to figure out a way to attract those kids here. It can't just be weather anymore. It can't just be in January. We don't shovel snow. It's about the NIL. And if people step up, schools like Miami have a wonderful opportunity.
Let me move our attention to ACC men's basketball. There are four ACC teams in the Sweet 16. Last year, Miami went to the Final Four. The year before that, Miami to the Elite Eight, Duke and Carolina to the championship game. But over the last 3 years, the national media has hated ACC basketball. Why?
I think because people like me use the Go ACC hashtag too much. That has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. I think it's because when you have prolonged success, it's the easiest thing to kick. Like Duke, for example. Duke is an incredible school. Like Duke is Duke. You can't make fun of Duke. It's a program. It's an absolute machine. And it has angered so many people over the years because of its almost never-ending run of success. And I think that's part of it with the ACC. I think people have grown tired of the ACC. There are national pundits on social media kind of blasting Tony Bennett. Does anybody realize how much money Tony Bennett has given back to Virginia? Does anybody realize how important Tony Bennett was in that community's healing after the events in Charlottesville a few years ago? Does anyone understand what he demands from his kids academically as men? Like, and people are going to rip Virginia because they played a terrible game in Dayton? Virginia's never been able to score. Like, that's their thing. They win with defense. It didn't work this year. So we're going to blast the entire league? I don't care what the metrics said. Syracuse is the tournament team. And I know it's not the best 68. I get that because of the automatic qualifiers. Syracuse was a tournament team. You know, the last time I was on Hotline was a couple months ago, Joe, and I got blasted for saying to you that I thought the ACC could get 7 or 8. At a time when people were predicting 2 or 3 even.
Well, Wake Forest and Pittsburgh should have been
teams in that conference.
Yeah. Well, Wake and Pitt should have been in tournament teams.
Oh, Pitt got screwed. Pitt got screwed. Nobody talks about that. We talk about Virginia had a bad night. We don't talk about Pitt. We don't talk about, you know, it's so funny. Like, North Carolina. People love Hubert Davis. People love North Carolina. They love Roy. They love Dean. Like Carolina's the blue blood that everybody seems to like nationally, and Duke and Kentucky are the ones that everybody's just waiting for them to stub their toe every year, it seems like. I know Kentucky's not an ACC team. It probably will be one day, so it'll be appropriate. But Carolina gets down, 12 or 14 to Michigan State? And Twitter was going crazy with the overrated ACC, and, you know, 5 seconds later, Carolina had the lead. Like, I have my issues with the conference are well known, are well chronicled. Like, I don't think they do enough to promote the other states. I don't think they share the championships in a fair manner. I mean, the championship sites is what I mean.
No, I agree with you. I have plenty of beefs with the conference, but when it comes to competing against other conferences, I would challenge. It's like last year Miami played Houston, and I thought, well, if Houston was in the ACC, they would have finished third or fourth, but they were the number one seed. Miami beat them by, 14 or 16? I wouldn't be surprised if Duke beats them in the Sweet 16.
Wouldn't shock me at all. But if Houston wins, is that an indictment? It's not. The ACC hasn't made a lot of friends with the way it's carried itself. In this era of expansion, in the way that they did and didn't go about certain things, it has a holier than thou air to it, and I think that's rubbed some people the wrong way. But that's an entirely separate issue from looking at the body of work for a Pitt or a Wake or a Syracuse. And admittedly, everyone knows I have a bias for Syracuse, but I do believe they were a tournament team. It's why are we holding that we don't like the way the league office handles its business against Pitt and Wake? That doesn't make sense to me. Also, we're kind of forgetting the big one that they there's one particular school that absolutely should have been in the NCAA tournament, and that's Katie Meyer's team.
No question. That was a royal, you know what?
Complete comedy. Comedy.
That was absurd. I think that's partly what centered the retirement.
No, I don't think so. I think the timing, obviously, because otherwise they would have been playing last weekend. I just don't think it's another example to me of the who's advocating for its membership.
Yeah.
So, and again, like the SEC gets it too. Like, you know, I don't pretend to know Greg Sankey. You know, of course he's advocating for his teams, and he gets blasted by a lot of media for saying, you know, the SEC should have 83 teams in the NCAA tournament. So we blast Greg Sankey for being too overzealous in championing his league, and then we're going to blast Jim Phillips for doing nothing outwardly to promote most of the schools in the ACC. You can't really have it both ways.
Well, that does get us to our last topic, which is Clemson is also suing the ACC. So how does that play out? And what does that mean to the other schools?
It means the other schools have two chances. Now they can say, go Florida State and go Clemson. I am certain that the other members of this league are hoping that one of those schools, if not both, succeed. It is not a level playing field in college athletics. It never will be. We all know that. But the schools in the ACC, the way the rules are currently constructed, I don't know if they're going to be able to compete much longer with the SEC. And in this NIL era, and Joe, look, I'm not predicting this like as a reporter. I'm predicting this to you as just a guy that you asked a question to. This is just my opinion on this, but we are not far removed from schools paying the students themselves. We just are not far removed from that.
We're going to do a whole show on that one day, because I think it's pretty simple. I think that whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, kids are going to be paid to go represent a school, not to go to school. Going to school is going to be optional. They are going to be paid to represent the school.
Well, I hope it's not that far, but if you are in a conference where your broadcasting arm, where your network generates this, and the schools in the nearby conference have 4, 5, 6 times the revenue gleaned from their networks, from their broadcasting, it's not right. And it's not going to be right. And I know this will make people in Miami skin crawl, but you need to root hard for Florida State on this one. I think you absolutely have to root for Florida State to win this case. And it won't just be Florida State and Clemson and the Miamis that leave. You're going to see some of the schools in the state of North Carolina look to leave immediately, because there are just brands that are being held back by the way this grant of rights works. Fans don't understand it, and I'm sorry about that most fans don't. They shouldn't have to. There should just be some sort of level playing field, and there isn't. And I don't pretend to be a lawyer. I'm not currently at a Holiday Inn Express, so I don't have any real legal knowledge coming my way at this point. But there are enough smart people who are familiar with these cases that think that Florida State and Clemson have a real shot. And if they have a shot, that's going to be a good thing for all the other members. And the ACC will change wildly at that point. But then again, half the people, Joe, in this country don't know what conference most schools are in now anyway.
That's true. You just want to be
competitive. You want your teams to have a chance to shine, a chance to win. You want to be able to get in the fight and get the student athletes that you want, keep the coaches that you want, do the things that you need, have a chance to win. That's what it's always been about. It's kind of gotten away from that. And there's some schools in the ACC that are really, really, they know they can't hang on until 2036 under these rules. It's something that's got to change.
has got to change. That's true. All right, Tim, how's Albany?
It's a marvelous place. It's 42 and gray and rainy, and there's women's basketball fever all over the place because of the two regionals, this double regional site this weekend. It's everybody's going to watch Caitlin, and I get that, like they should, but there's some pretty good women's games in the country this weekend, and it's not just Iowa. Like there's this tournament has been what Caitlin has done to elevate women's basketball is great, but the tournament has done its part too. There's some incredible talent out there. There's some incredible teams out there. It is not a no-brainer that South Carolina wins this thing. And that's no knock on them. They're super. They're incredible. The women's tournament is fun. It's real fun right now. And it's cool for a little place like Albany to have a double regional this weekend. And it's cool to see a place get excited about it, as it should be.
Love Albany. We won there last year. Miami won there last year, so I love Albany.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, always good to know.
Miami won as many games in Siena's building as Siena won this year.
Siena might. Did they hire McNamara?
It's not done. It's going to get done. It's not done. Listen, as somebody who covered Siena 1,000 years ago, I can promise you that it's done. They're just haggling. And I don't want to say Siena is – I don't want to say they're cheap, because that would be wrong, but they don't make it easy to extract money from the institution, let's put it that way. So I'm sure when they get to the money part, when they get everything the way GMAC wants it, it's a great move for him. It's only 2.5 hours from Syracuse. He'll recruit well. He has a great relationship with the Albany City Rocks AAU program, the great program run by Jimmy Hart, who, you know, if you don't know who Jimmy Hart is, you probably should learn, because he is kind of one of the good guys in behind the scenes in college basketball. So they'll get it done, and it'll be they won't be 4-28 next year, let's put it that way.
All right, very good. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
See you, Joseph.
All right, take care. That's Tim Reynolds joining us from the AP. Still to come in this hour, Lance Guidry and Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies. Let me talk to you for a moment about Miami's premier luxury dealership that was founded over 50 years ago. More than just a dealership, there are friends, there are neighbors. I'm talking about Williamson Cadillac. Williamson has built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience, and nobody treats customers better than Ed Williamson, of course, his lovely wife, Carol. Enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. New vehicles arriving every single day, which means this spring you are sure to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. Come in today and experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere. Easy to find on US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto, or online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle. I'm driving around South Florida in an XT4, so I'm getting the most out of the South Florida lifestyle. You can experience a new Cadillac from your premier luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, still to come, Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, will join me. We'll talk about the ACC. But we are halfway through spring football. We'll have the spring game on April the 13th from Cobb Stadium. 4 o'clock, I think we'll be on the air a little bit before that, but 4 o'clock at Cobb Stadium. About halfway through spring football, Don Bailey Jr. is right now with Hurricanes defensive coordinator Lance Guidry.
With Miami defensive coordinator Lance Guidry. And first of all, Coach, happy birthday. Yours was the 25th. Mine was the 24th.
Oh, yeah, we some Aries brothers.
How's it going, spring practice?
It's good. It's good and bad, like always. You got some guys doing some good things, but then you get into some depth issues, and you just don't have enough right now. So a lot of young guys getting reps, things like that. And you can find out who can play and not. So it's always kind of good, bad, and ugly every day. Even when you think you have a good day, you go back and watch film, you're like, I wasn't quite as good. So you got to wait till you watch the film always.
How about let's go to position group, defensive line. What are you seeing out of that group?
Of course, we've got some guys out right now, you know, but we do have some little bit of depth inside at tackle right now. We don't at end because that's the guys that are hurt. Right. So, but I think we got a solid group, you know. We'll see when we get everybody healthy. Right now, we just got to get the guys who are getting reps, just get them better right now.
Linebacker Malin Noah is out, but you got gives you opportunity to work in a bunch of new guys.
Working a bunch of young guys, some redshirt freshmen and some freshmen, and you're finding out who can play and who can't and who's gotten better from the fall and who's made strides. Right now, it's a little bit much for some of the freshmen, but then they got a couple other freshmen that can really play. So Bobby Pruitt's doing really good right now, and Popo's doing good. So that's the two guys that have kind of caught my eye out of the young guys that I think can help us next year.
Secondary, you lose James and you lose Cam. Those are big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. How do you go about filling? Let's start with the leadership role that they gave.
Yeah, you know, right now Harris is probably our leader right now in the secondary. He's playing really well, I think. The two new guys are still kind of learning the defense right now. I think that Mish Powell was doing good. 19, Savion's kind of struggling at times right now, but I think he'll get better just learning the defense and playing harder.
Year two. Mm-hmm. What difference does that make?
They know the defense, especially the guys. You know who you can count on right now. So it's kind of like an old hat to some of them. But the young guys that have came here and some of the new guys, they look like year one. So, yeah, it's always better year two. But at least the older players that have been here can help the guys that have just gotten here.
Coach, how's the offense improved? You deal with them all day, every day.
The quarterback's better right now. Of course, we're thin at running back, so not doing a lot of stuff inside other than putting the tight end running the ball, which is really good. A freshman tight end is really good. And then our kid that's been hurt, number 8, golly, he's special. So I really like our tight ends, and we get a couple running backs healthy again. I think we got a chance to be really good. Offensive line is good. Of course, CC's out. So I think we got a solid group on offense with a guy that can pull the trigger.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye, man.
All right, Don Bailey Jr., Lance Guidry, spring game, April the 13th, Saturday. We'll have that for you on QAM. Let me talk to you for a moment about the University of Miami team store. You can visit the Hurricane team store, your one-stop shop for the latest and greatest in Hurricanes gear. You want to deck out in Hurricanes jerseys, hats, T-shirts, accessories. They have everything you need to show off your Hurricanes pride. Located just across from the campus at the Thesis Hotel in Coral Gables. The store is easy to find. You can shop there Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Also, if you go to the baseball game, you can find the team store in the concourse at the light at baseball games, featuring a 20% off item of the game for each game. So don't miss out. The new Hurricanes team store. Visit it today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Joe Z, Trevor Harris is our producer. Bill Roth, the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies, joining us now, and my next door neighbor. How you doing tonight, Bill?
I'm well. It is so good, Joe Z, to talk with you. Talk a little ACC football and basketball and ACC sports. Always love it when I'm on your show. So thank you for the invite.
I'm making you my ACC correspondent.
Well, this is a good week to talk.
You're right in the heart of it most of the time. So.
This is a good week. The ACC is 8-1 in the NCAA men's tournament. Remember how bad the league was 3 weeks ago? We were only going to get two teams in, and now we've got four in the Sweet 16. It might be a jinx to talk about it because State, Carolina, Clemson, and Duke all have really tough games in this round of 16. But it's been a really good there's been a lot of crazy things going around our league, but it's nice to see what's happening in our spring sports, specifically the men's basketball tournament.
Where is Jeff Goodman? What's he said? And what's it called? The Field of 68? Bunch of loudmouths.
You know, I thought Jim Phillips had a really interesting I'm not a math guy. Were you good in math at high school?
No, terrible in math.
He brought up a really interesting point that the ACC plays 20 regular season games, and if you've got 15 teams, 20 extra games, that's 30 extra losses, and it dings you in your net ranking. And that, because if you'd only play 18 games, that's 30 fewer losses.
Well, and right,
and that might have helped get more teams in.
I thought, and they thought, when they went to 20 games, that it was going to help them get teams in. It backfired. It's been the opposite. They need those other two games to either probably use one to squash somebody, and then one should be a really premier game.
You know, the Big 12 did a really good job this year. I don't know if we can claim they gamed the system, but they all got themselves into the quad one
And then when they played each other, there was no bad losses.
Right.
And, you know, it was crazy. You know, Kansas goes on the road and loses to UCF, and Kansas goes on the road and loses at West Virginia, and it's not a bad loss. You know, West Virginia lost like 20 games and fired their coach, right? And,
correct.
And yet in our league, like, you know this, like Duke and Carolina both lost at Georgia Tech this year. They weren't a great team, but they were good at home. And I think that's the thing. Like in every coach in every league always says, oh, it's hard to win on the road. But in the ACC, if you lose a road game against a team that's not in the quad one because you're playing so many games, not everybody can be in quad one, that it might hurt us mathematically. So I don't know. I do think that if we could get two or three teams to win this week, I don't know that that'll happen. I think it'll be a really good day for everybody in our league.
I know. Listen, I've criticized the ACC, I think, probably as much as anybody. There are things I don't like about the league. But I do know this, and I do respect this, especially in basketball. When you win on the road in the ACC, it is a great win. It is an exhausting 2 hours to survive a road game in the ACC in just about every location. And I don't think that gets enough credit for some reason. I think that has been pushed to the side.
Well, basketball is important to a lot of these schools, right? And everyone, I think I read everybody in our league has been to the Sweet 16 since Pittsburgh went three times as a Big East member. But in the last 20 years, every single ACC team has made the Sweet 16 at least once.
Well, that's pretty good. And take a look at what happened last year. Miami goes to the Final Four the year before that. Miami to the Elite Eight. Duke and Carolina to the championship game. Halfway through, Miami's halfway through spring football. Where's Virginia Tech?
Same. Our spring game is the same as the Canes' spring game coming up in a few weeks. There's a lot of optimism at Virginia Tech. The quarterback, Kyron Drones, had such a great second half of last season. They return 90-something percent of the offense. They got everybody of note back offensively. I think they're going to be really good. They've got a manageable schedule. The Hokies come to they play Miami on the road, but they get Clemson and Georgia Tech at home. And they miss FSU. They miss Clemson. They get Clemson at home. They miss NC State. Everybody that beat the Hokies last year, they don't play. So they don't play Louisville. So I think it'll be a good year for Tech.
You're coming here on a Friday night. Looking forward to that. Miami and Virginia Tech playing again against each other. But that would be the one thing. That was one of the things about the ACC. Like, that was dumb to remove Miami and Virginia Tech. Right.
I'm gonna get
the commissioner on the show somehow. But that was dumb.
I think we talked about it last year that going back to the beginning of the Big East, like Virginia Tech and Miami had played how many years consecutive years was it? It was 36 years, right?
Yeah.
And only four of the games dropped off ABC, ESPN, or ESPN2. Every game was a network game. And they, you know, Tech had its run, Miami had its run, but and in either instance was it like the biggest rival. It's not the Canes' biggest rival to play, and it wasn't the Hokies' biggest rival. But the game always meant something, and it did well in TV ratings, so much so that it was always on ABC. And then they don't play it, and they made Wake Forest Virginia Tech's permanent crossover opponent. And that had me baffled last year.
They, the ACC will say, well, we need Miami, Florida State, and Virginia Tech to be great in football. And there's no doubt that's true. And Miami has dropped the ball, and so has Virginia Tech, and so did Florida State. However, I also think that there are times where the ACC hasn't done enough to help any of those schools. Kind of put them in bad spots, to be honest with you, at times. Kind of took advantage of their brand names and just didn't. I think there's a way to help. And one of the ways you help is through scheduling and things like that. And I think sometimes they just took advantage of the brands, but put the brands in a tight, in a tough spot.
Well, we both schools have had coaching turnover, and it's been, it's really hard to have turnover on your staff and maintain any type of consistent recruiting pipeline and build the relationships that you need. At least that was the case until the NIL era. Now you have a nice relationship with an NIL funding group and you're in pretty good shape, but you still have to have some stability on your coaching staff. And I think in Brent Pry, the Hokies have that now, and they've got, I really like this staff. They've got a couple of guys from the NFL. I think they've improved their recruiting acumen, particularly within Virginia. You know, Tech used to do a lot of South Florida recruiting. They don't do a whole lot at all down in Broward or Dade anymore. They focus basically on Commonwealth of Virginia, up into Maryland and D.C. and down into North Carolina. If you look at Virginia Tech's roster, just about everybody on the team's within 5 or 6 hours. And I think their staff is built to recruit that region.
Well, that's where they always – you know what's going to help Miami and Virginia Tech? Nick Saban retired. The Alabama guy, they got a ton of players in Virginia in probably the Tidewater area, as he did down here.
I know. The problem now is George is getting the top player out of every state.
Yeah, this is true.
They've done a great job. I mean, it's that I give Kirby Smart credit, man. I mean, he's going into Tennessee and getting the top player. He's going into Mississippi and getting the top player. He got the top two in Virginia, and they've always recruited Florida. So, yeah, right now George is hot, but that's all cyclical, and I'd like to get a chance to play him, because if we're playing Georgia, it's going to be a big game.
Who do you open with this year?
The Hokies open on the road at Vanderbilt.
Oh, that's a piece of cake. Cakewalk.
You never know on the road.
Who's your toughest non-conference game?
The toughest non-conference game. We have Vanderbilt on the road and Rutgers at home.
Oh, okay. No. My Rutgers beat Miami, so I can't make fun of it.
Yeah, what's interesting is the Hokies play here in Miami on a Friday, and then the next game is at Stanford.
Yeah, well, we have the same thing. I mean, why don't we just charter the same plane? Because we're going to Cal.
Let's do it. I do think it's interesting that they're sending the Hokies and the Canes that's something else, Joe. Right. If we're playing at Stanford and you're playing in Berkeley the same night, it's going to be a 10 o'clock Eastern kick for both.
Oh,
it's going to be night games.
I'm expecting the worst. You also know this, that in basketball, we are going out there to play Cal and Stanford. But in basketball, Cal and Stanford are going to North Carolina and Duke. Those two aren't going out to Cal and Stanford.
That's a long flight home after a night football game. And I get it, right? I mean, we know how
the
money
works.
We have
the bye week the next week. It'll take me 3 days to recover.
Why? Let's do this. You talk with your AD. I'll talk with mine. Let's stay the night and then do some wine country. Bring Cheryl.
I'll meet you on Fisherman's Wharf or something.
Let's just do that. Just turn Audacity. They got plenty of money. Have them turn in the receipts.
Sure. You haven't read the news lately. All right, before I let you go, we have about a minute left. Clemson's in on this lawsuit. what do you think that means?
The lawyers are making a lot of money. I think they're angling for bargaining position. You know, Clemson's tenor was a lot cooler and milder and a lot more delicate than FSU's. I mean, we've read the lawsuits. To be honest, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. Lawyers that look at it say Florida State, this doesn't hold water. Zero chance. But Florida State's attorneys think they got something. So let's see how it plays out.
All right. We'll talk in a couple of weeks after your spring game, and then we'll compare notes on where each football program is after spring football, since we're going to play in, September?
We're going to play down here, and I do want to see you and Cheryl on on Los Olas. Let's make that happen.
Yeah, I've got a little free time.
Perfect.
We'll do that. All right.
Appreciate
Always
you,
good. Thanks a lot for joining us. I really appreciate it. All right, that's Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies. When we come back, we move our attention to University of Miami baseball. Canes Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week at home against the Clemson Tigers. And my broadcast partner on television, Wicho Hernandez, former Canes shortstop, joins us coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.